I'm talking to Patrick Donoghue here in Ballyconnell, and Patrick, you run a business here, a supermarket business, and you've been always. Are you a local man?
Yeah, well, my family traditionally, were involved in the shop business down to the years. We originally came from the Ballyconnell area. My father was a farmer just outside, a couple of miles outside Ballyconnell, in a town called Ballyhady. And my mother ran a shop in a small village called Milltown, the other side of Ballyconnell, beside Belturbet. So I'd be probably fourth generation shopkeeper. My son now is running the business. After taking the business over from me, he'd be fifth generation, and he has recently landed the sixth generation. So we're a long time. I personally done most of my business across the border in the north, so I straddled the border. My father was inclined to be in the pub business a lot of the time. He was a farmer, then he went into the pub business, and it probably gave me the urge, I suppose, to get in the business, and I've been in business all my life.
So you were born, what date were you born?
I was born in 1957 in the pub in Bonboy, in the actual pub, and had my 60th birthday. Had my 60th birthday in it this year. So my wife says, ever since I was born in the pub, I've been trying to get back into it again at any occasion I can get. But we had our 60th birthday there in the same pub. So that's as long as I'm in the bother and in the business in the bother.
So you lived a lot of your life then through the Troubles.
Yeah, well, I suppose virtually all my business career was interrupted, I suppose I could say, by the Troubles in the north. And it was possibly more harrowing in the time we spent in the north. Because during the time in the north, we had an army checkpoint just a couple of miles up the road from us. And whereas we had a great relationship with our Protestants and Catholic customers alike, we were always, I'd say, probably put under pressure more by the Catholic crowd and probably the Sinn Féin element in that.
Well, why do you say that now?
Well, because they always wanted us to do, even from my father's time, with the Troubles in the north, the Catholics probably thought that they were, I suppose, discriminated against, which they were. There was a time he had to dump her milk. I remember my father was a milk farmer. He had to dump the milk. It was probably tit for tat. But on account of me being a Catholic, I suppose, they would have expected me to do different things. I know now this would be pressure coming from my own friends more than anything else. They would reserve judgment on me actually serving particular members of the maybe UDR or RUC or things like that. They didn't understand the actual business end of things. You know, that was a personal thing. And it wasn't helped. My case wouldn't have been helped by the fact that the army was only a couple of miles up the road from us. They virtually all but closed my business down. And I can see where a lot of young lads, myself included, I have to say, were incited by the Troubles and felt that we should get involved. Lucky enough, I was involved myself on the fringes of it. Thanks be to God, I turned away from it. I know friends of mine that did get involved. I understand where they were coming from. But I always thought the army were the biggest employers of the IRA than any other people or whatever.
That's a very interesting point. It was motivated and driven by the IRA, was it?
It was, but if you have to remember, people have to live in the area that they live in. You know, they have to have free movement. They have to do what they've done, what their ancestors done before. They have to travel in Cayley and do things. People's travel was hampered an awful lot. I know my business was hampered an awful lot. The army could close the main road down. Our main road was the Swanland Bar and the Skillen Road, and a lot of our customers came from the south. Yeah. The army at will could just close it down, which they didn't do often. They closed it down. that would stop people from travelling. It wasn't very conducive to running any kind of business. But they also hampered a lot of movement from ordinary local people, farmers that may have had farms of land north and south of the border.
Okay, and so did the Troubles actually visit your door? I mean, were you ever harassed or threatened?
I'd have to say that my business wasn't, I suppose, directly harassed, I'd say, but the fact that the army could take it upon themselves to close the road down, in all essence, to close my business down as well, any time that this happened. We were very lucky because we had a cross-border business going, which was very lucrative, and people...
Where was that?
This was on the main Swanland Bar and the Skillen Road.
And so did you get to know the UDR or the paratroopers or the people who were actually manning the border personally? Because you were back and forth all the time.
A very strange question. I got in a deep conversation with a British soldier years and years and years after through a fluke more than anything else. I met him when I was over on holidays, and he was trying to explain to me his perspective and the way it was for him. He was a very young man at the time. I seen like a red rag to a bull. I just tore into him, and he told me where he said he was from the exact area that we were actually operating on. He told me how torturous it was for him and the antics they were at, and I immediately laid into him and I said, look, you hadn't a clue what you were doing there. I told him from my perspective what it was. I had a business there. And the two of us finished up having a couple of brandies and a couple of pints, and he genuinely felt sorry for me, and I genuinely felt sorry for him, because they were young lads that were sent over here. They hadn't a clue. You know, they didn't understand probably what they were sent over for.
So would you have a feeling that maybe it was people from Northern Ireland who were part-time or who were... just in the forces that caused the trouble?
Yeah, well, I would imagine, looking back now, and you've asked me a question there, I'd imagine the ordinary lay people on both sides of the divide, shall we say, and whoever they are, they probably found themselves in a circumstance that was created maybe by people of maybe higher authority. You know, the army was probably sent over by the politicians or whatever, generals or whatever people they are subservient to. We are dependent on our own local politicians. If you're Catholic, you follow your Catholic politicians. If you're Protestants, it was the other way around. Those UDR, those people in high places pulling the strings, calling the shots. And I suppose you had the likes of us that were you know, in the middle. We had to carry on business. Farmers had to carry on their farm, and local people had to live. And you know, who do you blame? It was just a circumstance, I suppose.
So did you get to live with this then? It became the norm, did it?
Well, you asked me, was I directly involved? I was directly involved in an incident, and I used to be in the boxing club, the local boxing club, and we were stopped in one particular night going home, and it was a very harrowing experience for me, and I'll never forget it. There was four of us actually going home, and we were stopped by the British Army. They pulled us into one side, and I don't know why, they just took objection to us being there. We were only a mile and a half from home, and it was in a cold winter's night. The snow was coming down on top of us, and they got us out of the car with our hands up against the roof of the car. One of the guys was pulled with the hair of the head, the lad that was driving, for no apparent reason. You know, and I'd be middle of the road, man. I'd have no politics whatsoever. The other lad took up for his friend. The gun was put into his mouth, and he was told he was going to be shot. And we were four civil lads. I know the three lads along myself. We had no politics. We weren't involved in anything. We were just local lads coming from the boxing club. And I thought, you know, if this is the way ordinary people are being treated, why wouldn't people be incited and rebel up against the likes of this? And this is why I say the British Army themselves were the biggest employers for people joining the IRA, the biggest recruitment officers, because of incidents like that. I know several incidents of myself crossing the border, going to funerals in Swanland Bar, been stopped for long periods of time, missing funerals for no apparent reason. I remember the Hyde Park bombings over in England. I was pulled in once. I was kept for 3 or 4 hours. I didn't even know why. I didn't even hear the news. I didn't even know what was on. And apparently when they came up to talk to me again, it was all because of the British Army or the British Army people that were killed over in Hyde Park. Hyde Park.
Yeah.
So it seems as if it was a blame game all the time. If I read on anything, the local people got blamed for it. You know, if the ending happened around our area, like the incidents that I said, and they were very frequent, happened every day, the Brits would get blamed for it. But, you know, from my point of view and from working in the border, I had tremendous friends both sides of the border. And we never showed politics. But I don't mind saying now, we always voted for a UUP man, a local councillor. His name was Wilson Elliott. He was a great customer of ours. He was the only politician down there that actually showed any interest in my business, that helped me out in various different things that I had. And my family, myself, and my wife all voted for him every year.
Yes, and so following the UUP, would that indicate that you're from a Church of Ireland background rather than a Catholic background?
No, I'm not. No, I'm Catholic, and I'd like to think that I'm as I suppose, as staunch as anybody else. I'd have my own romantic views in Ireland. I would follow my whole Irish history from the 1916 rising to the War of Independence to, you know, whatever. I've followed it up. I'd have my own views in that. I'd love to see a united Ireland. I'd love to think that it may happen in time to come. But at the same time, when you're in business and when you're working on the border and when you get to know people really well, you really, you know, be dependent on people that you can trust. And I trusted the likes of Wilson. I trusted an awful lot of Protestant customers that we had. Some of them are still very good friends of mine. And, you know, you just get to know people. I stand, even to this day, I don't have politics. I don't vote for Fianna Fáil or for Fine Gael because it's Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael. I vote for the people that I think may better my business, or help me or help my staff or whatever. That's the views that I would have. I suppose a lot of trouble that this country would have is because people look maybe too far in the past. What has happened in the past has happened. What we'd like to see to happen in the future, but in between times people have to live.
Yeah.
And
well, that's it's fascinating to hear you say that. But do you hold two passports then in being in having business on both sides of the border and you know, having property and living on both sides of the border?
Well, I don't physically hold two passports. I only have my Irish passport. I can qualify for the British passport. I may decide now on the advent of maybe Brexit that maybe I should have two passports. No, I've been involved in business. I always felt that we got great support from both sides of the border. I'd like to think that we supported equally the people that supported us. I insisted when we moved down to Skilling that we paid our dues both to Catholic and Protestant churches in Belturbet, which we didn't.
I mean, was this a sectarian war? Was it I don't want to call it a conflict, a sectarian violence, if you like. Would you rate it as that?
Sectarian, I'd say it definitely was. It definitely was. And even this very day, you know, all the decisions that's been made, you know, even this very day, there's sectarian decisions, and I can't see any difference. You know, there's a standoff now between the DUP and Sinn Féin. It's all sectarian.
Yeah.
You know, and what I would love, personally, what I would love to see, and I think there's an opportunity for the middle of the road, and I think, I forget the names of the parties down there, the UUP used to be the party, and I can't think of the man's name.
Tom Elliott.
He has stood down since as the party leader. I would have loved to have seen them and the SDLP getting in the bed.
Because they're in the middle.
Yeah, they've seen of the middle ground now, and I think especially the youngsters are probably, they're not tainted as much by the troubles as maybe my generation and even a generation after me. But I thought there was a great opportunity, and still is a great opportunity, for someone to grasp that middle ground. I don't think it's important now for the youngsters to look back over the decisions of the past and sectarianism for that matter. I think they're more interested in their futures.
Yeah,
really.
But just going back to your own background and your own family, would your father have had the same views as you?
No, and I never really got to know what my father's views was, because he died when he was a young man. I was young when he died. I'm not too sure what my father's views would have been. I know his family were Fianna Fáil voters in the south here. My father was probably something similar to myself. He played his cards very close to his chest.
Well, being a publican as well as a shopkeeper.
Absolutely, yeah.
And so to build up the business on both sides of the border, there was a shooting one time in a pub where McCabe, I think his name was shot and killed.
Yes.
Did you know him?
I did, yes.
He lived quite close to here.
His family's from Ballyconnell. And the same lad used to stop with us when we had the filling station in the north. He used to get his petrol with us. A good lad. His sister worked for us since that.
So that did that mean then? I mean, something like that would indicate fear and mistrust and all the time on the guard. I mean, do you remember back to those days in the pub or in the business that you would always be watching who's coming in the door?
Not really. You asked me a question with my father, and I suppose when I have time more to think about it as you've asked me. I suppose my father was and it's probably the way that I am now. My father had a lot of Protestant and Catholic customers coming into his pub in Enniskillen. He had a pub in Enniskillen, and I remember all the old characters. We thought they were characters when we were small. We didn't know what religion they were. We cared less. But I would know them. I could write them off to you, 20, 30 of them, because they were all characters. My young days, and I remember it well, was the 12th of July. I remember there was a man called Walter Nelson.
Yes.
And he had a young lad in around my age. He was a Protestant man. He brought us to the 12th marches. Yeah. And I can remember vividly my mother tying pots and pans around our necks as drums and having two wooden spoons and banging them like the march, the boys playing drums in the march. I remember that well. So, you know, he asked me, did my father probably was the same as myself. He looked after his business and he was thankful whoever came into him, basically. And I'd say that's the way probably business people are.
And so without getting involved in anything, but keeping a kind of a straight line, if you like, and not upsetting either part, because I can understand you have to be very diplomatic in your approach in business.
Absolutely. I suppose I'm in business all my life, and from a very early age, too early actually, and it's probably my mindset. You know, my mindset is that you look after customers, they look after you, and I look after them. Maybe the likes of me became immune to sectarianism and the troubles and whatever. I was focused on what I was doing. I could see the goodness, and I could also see the badness as well. And I'd have to say equally on one side as the other. But people that were supporting me, I would certainly support them, no matter who they are.
Okay, and so the business grew over the years, and you say your own education wasn't great, was it not? You left school at 14?
No, I left school to run the family pub at 17. So that was harrowing, to say the least. I was left on my own there eventually.
Well, because your father died young.
My father, he didn't die at the time, but it was just circumstances I found myself in. I left after, I was at St. Michael's College in Enniskillen. I was in the middle of my secondary education. I got good results in my O-levels. My mother probably had ambitions for me going on to university. I felt that my father had this pub, and the circumstances were it was for another brother of mine. He left, he went to Canada. I was helping him at the time. It just happened, you know, that I had to get in the business.
Just
I left
fell into it.
It fell into it. Whether it probably the best thing ever happened to me, I don't know. And it was a particularly bad time for me because I was too young to run a pub at 17. Imagine at 17 years of age. I'll not get into the whole parts of it. I've blocked out the memory of it completely because it was just a bad time for me. I was too young. But it gave me an education, I suppose. You know,
yeah. I suppose it taught you a lot of things. I mean, people coming into you, you were probably as big characters as you suggested.
There was great characters years and years ago. There were, and people didn't seem to mind, you know, who they were really. I later begin to realise for every character, you know, there's probably a very sad family. You know, there's the same characters on about today. Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? I'd say,
But tell me, Padraig, the 17 years of age in a pub, was that pub in
Ballyconnell?
In Ballyconnell here. And so, Donoghue's pub is it? Or?
Yeah, it was called the Hawthorne Bar.
It's now
called Molly Maguire's. There's another crowd. Well, it has changed hands several times since.
Yeah.
It was a bad time. I was too young to look after a pub, really.
It was a dangerous place, I'm sure, as well. You know, because at the time it was seen as a opportunity or a target, because up the road in Swanling Bar, you had 13 or 14 bombs went off in the.
Yeah, but I'm talking just probably this was before the troubles really started. You know, I would have been what age? Well, the troubles were just probably starting at that time.
In the early 70s, wasn't it?
Yeah, it would have been the early 70s. Yeah, the troubles would have been on. Yeah, they would have been. They would have been on. I suppose I never really thought of the troubles. I never really would have thought of the troubles and running the bar at the time. As you say, I blocked a lot of.
You're too young. It was just a bad time. And so, but you progressed from that then into here, is it? Into this.
Yeah, we were very lucky in business. We travelled down north. We opened up what was the old shop in the north. It was all but closed. We opened it up. My father died. My mother retired from business. I took over the old place. We were very lucky. We got in. Initially at a very bad time, we made a couple of good decisions. We got in at a cross-border trade and things improved for us, so we moved back across the border again. I suppose we built a small empire here. We have 170 people working here now between the three shops. It's trouble you're asking me for. I suppose I never really got involved apart from an incident in my earlier days, which I mentioned at the start. I was inclined to steer myself away from it and steer my kids away from that sort of stuff.
But your story is fascinating in relation to the last 30 years of the Troubles, because you managed to become an entrepreneur. You achieved in business from small background.
Yeah, well, I suppose I did. I suppose an entrepreneur can build their business anywhere. You know, there was an open.
And it's unusual that you came from the north down to the south.
We originally came from the south to the north, and then, well, I was only a baby when I left, so I came from the north to the south. Yeah, we moved from Kinnaly.
So the smuggling must have helped then as well, of course.
I don't even know what that means.
It wasn't even a bad word in those days, was
it? Well, it was bravado then. Anyone that could, a good smuggler was worth a certain gold.
But the establishment here, the supermarket, it's a place for entrepreneurs, if you like, Sean Quinn up the road and changed the whole, you know, kept people at home and kept people here.
Yeah, I had my own views with the Quinn dynasty here as well. You know, that people don't really understand what has happened there. I believe that man was very hard done by, to be honest. I think he was robbed. You know, the state didn't get a penny out of, to this date, to this very date, they haven't got anything back from Sean Quinn. He was, himself and his son, were too few people that has done jail. And the light of what has happened and you know, what's transpired now with the banks and even recently with tracker mortgages and that, I just think they should just call an amnesty to the whole bloody thing. Sure, it was a mess. Everybody got involved in it. I think the psyche of the human being is we all like to better ourselves. We're all greedy. We all, you know, whether you call it greed, whether you call it bettering yourself, whatever. I don't think Quinn was any better or any worse than anybody else. But one thing for sure, he provided 6,000 jobs around this area. No one showed the same loyalty around here as Sean Quinn has shown. The people came out and given him great support. I suppose I was heavily involved in that. I'd done MC for the two marches that we had here for him. I had no particular association with Sean Quinn. I never worked for him. I knew him all right. He doesn't live too far from here. I just felt so sorry for the man. Up to this very day, I believe there was some bit in the paper about his wife that she has 400 or 600 euros left in her bank account. How did he get that kind of information? He has just been pulled through the media and his family and himself, even to this very day. He's waiting a court case for the last 10 years, which I don't know whether he'll ever get. I just think they should give him back, at least to Sleeve Russell, some of his business.
Padraig Donoghue, thank you very much. I know that this isn't finished. I know I'm coming back again, so we'll continue this. But thank you very much.
Thank you.